Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Matthew 7, 24 to 29. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundations on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for everyone that is here. Lord, that it's not by accident that our visitors are here to hear the final part of this wonderful series that we've gone through. Lord, move me out of the way. Let the words that come from my mouth come directly from your throne room to the ears of your hearers today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Alrighty, thank you all. Take a seat. So I want to speak to you today on the parable of the two builders of how to build a stormproof life. I've entitled this message, A Foundation Built to Last. Jesus comes to the end of what is known as the Sermon on the Mount, the most famous sermon ever spoken. You don't have to go to YouTube or to the Christian bookstore to get it. Just open up your Bible, turn to Matthew 5 and read up to chapter 7. Jesus taught them kingdom principles, a new way of living on a higher plane. When most preachers come to the end of their sermon, they usually like to hit on a high note. They like to try and end on a crescendo with a mighty blast. Instead, once Jesus has done all his kingdom teachings, he seems to end on a solemn note, a probing note, a challenging note that speaks to us and his hearers on that day to examine the foundations that they built their lives upon. He ended on a solemn, challenging note so that those who, having heard his word, might not still go away and fail to practice the things that Jesus said. Once again, he wraps up his message in a parable, and we all know what a parable is. It's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Jesus tried to explain something unfamiliar, something eternal, with something familiar using everyday stories, objects, and characters. And here he speaks about two builders. Jesus uses a construction story to get through to us, to grab the attention of his hearers and get them to expand their minds. He uses the story of construction of two houses. No doubt Jesus was alluding to the buildings that stood nearby him at that time. I mean, everybody likes a construction story, yeah? Anybody here watch TV? TV series The Block? Okay. You know, when I drive around on the Gold Coast, especially in the more affluent parts, being Broadbeach, which is where I live, and man, I think, man, there's some really, really nice houses, you know. Houses that are beautifully decorated, well constructed. But, you know, houses, they interest us, yeah? Houses are important. And each and every one of us in this room today, whether you realize it or not, are building a house. Jesus said, building a house is important. And if it's important with a physical house, how much more for the spiritual house that each and every one of us are building. Many years ago, my wife, Easter, she wrote in a book what her ideal house would be. And so she would list it off as two-leveled house, three or four bedrooms, two bathrooms, two toilets, and the rest of that. But most importantly, well, more importantly for her, it had to have a big kitchen. And so, you know, that dawned on me and I thought, far out. I don't remember seeing anything on her list about what sort of foundation, type of foundation that she wanted her dream house to be. Whether if the house was well built, whether if the foundations were 10 feet deep, but as long as she had a really nice house. Yet foundations are the most important part of the house. It's the foundations that will determine whether or not the house will endure and stand the test of time. And Jesus is packaging up this message for you and me, that the spiritual house that we build is of great importance. And he starts off of telling the story of the two builders. And by the way, Jesus knows the difference between a strong house and a dodgy house. He knew if a house was built by a careful builder or a cowboy builder. Don't forget, Jesus was a carpenter himself. And so he's asking you and me today, he's telling us that in this parable, there is a foundation that each and every one of us can build upon that will take us successfully and safely through this life and onto eternity. Building a good foundation is building on his words. Building on Jesus is a life built on his words, is a life built on him. Jesus himself is the rock which we build upon. Proverbs 24 verse 3 says, "By wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established." And each and every one of us, whether you realize it or not, like I said a moment ago, is building a house. Now Jesus began with the words, therefore. He said, "Therefore, if anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock." So when you see the words therefore in the Bible, you got to ask yourself, what is it there for? And I'm glad you asked, but I'll tell you anyway. Usually it's to connect what's previously being said to what he's about to say. You say something like thus and thus and thus, therefore, and tell them the rest of the story. Some people think Jesus was only going back as far as verse 15 when he dealt with false prophets and false professors. Now, I'm not talking about professors who wear white coats, but I'm talking about people who professed religion falsely. But I believe that Jesus was going all the way back to the start of the Sermon on the Mount. And he was saying, all the stuff that I have taught you, all the stuff that I have taught you and given to you, therefore, since you've heard that, listen to this parable. Then he goes on to start with everyone. Everyone who hears these words of mine. You know, Jesus is interested in everyone, whichever class you're from, whichever society you grew up in, whatever your background, your culture, your education, your upbringing, your job, your wage bracket. Jesus said, everyone that hears these words of mine. The words of Jesus just wasn't for the 12 disciples. They weren't just for the Pharisees. They were for everybody, the common man. The Bible says the common man heard gladly. Jesus loves the common man, and because he made so many of them. And you know, without excuse, this message fits every single bracket, every single strata of life. This message is for you and me. So he spoke about two builders. They both set out to build a house. What is life but a building of characters, of words, of reputation, of expectation, of memories, our words, our thoughts, our actions. Stone upon stone. Stone upon stone, we are building a house. Some people say, I'm building for the future. I'm building a family. I'm building a legacy. I'm building a house. I'm building a team. I'm building a job. Building, building, building. But behind the scenes, there is a greater building going on. And it will all determine where you have laid your foundations. Which foundations are you building on this evening? They set out to build a house. I'm building for the future. Some people say, I have hopes, I have dreams, I have aspirations. I'm building this, I'm building that. But the greater building going on, a spiritual house is being built that has spiritual, eternal implications. These were two builders that selected a location. Now, real estate agents will tell you there are three things which will determine the value of a house. Location, location, and location. It's true in the physical house we build. It's true in the spiritual house that we build, which makes a huge difference. Just ask the people who built the Leaning Tower of Pisa, which stands tall at 183 feet, but moves 1/20th off center an inch every year, and it's leaning. But that's because they chose to build on an adequate foundation. The building is 183 feet tall, yet the foundations only go 10 feet deep. And one half of the building is built on softer sediment than the other half, so inevitably, it's going to lean with the weight of the building. The foundation is not strong enough to support it, and it's leaning. And some people in life are just leaning. They're just leaning over every single day, every single week, more and more and more, ready to fall over. if we don't get the foundations right. Foundations are important. Both builders erected a house. Both intended building a house. They both saw the need. They both used materials. Both were equally skilled. We don't hear that any of the builders had trouble putting in an archway or making a doorway or anything like that. They were both equally skilled. The difference came down to the foundation they both laid. They both completed their construction, and to look at their houses from top to bottom, you wouldn't thought that there was much difference between the two. They both finished their houses, but the difference was, my friend, they had chosen to build their houses on different foundations, on a different ground. You know, some people can look like they've got it all together. They can look and build nice penthouses, a beautiful structure to look on, but really underneath, there are cracks in the foundations, and it's a disaster waiting to happen. This is why Jesus said it's so important that we get the foundations right. They chose to build on a different ground. One built on rock, and the rock that we build our lives upon is on Jesus Christ himself, amen? And the life built on him is a life built on obedience to his word. We listen to his voice. We apply his teachings. The Bible says in Psalms 18, verse 2, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge." This man who trusts in the Lord digs deep when he makes his foundations. Because don't forget, in Luke 6, tells us the same parable. And in Luke 6, verse 48, it says, "The wise builder dug deep for his foundations. One built on rock, one built on sand." Jesus knew that strangers that came into Galilee to build houses chose the nice, level, sandy surface rather than the rocky, rugged surface. He knew the people would choose the easy way out. The sandy foundations represent a loose foundations, an empty, vain profession of outward religion. Remember in the Bible who used to do that? They were called the Pharisees, the scribes, the lawyers, the Sadducees. They could talk the talk. They could walk the walk, attend the right meetings, say amen when they needed to say amen. But you know, the Pharisees built on sand. And what was the sand of Jesus' day? What was the sand Jesus was speaking about? We're speaking about empty profession of religion. Remember, Jesus teaches another parable, which we've already gone through in chapter 6, where one of them prays a whole lot of fancy words, and the other one goes, "God, please just have mercy on me, I'm a mere sinner." And the Bible goes on to say, the one who prayed a few words was the one that God heard and the one that God justified. The two builders, the sand builder represents people who go by feelings or moods or the ever popular philosophy of the day. The Bible says they're blown about by every wind of doctrine. They believe in the world's principles. When you hear in the Bible speaking about the world, it's not talking about the world as a cosmos or the planet. When the Bible says don't love the world or the things of the world, it's not speaking about the soil, the trees, or this, that, and the other. It's talking about a set of principles and values, a mindset, a belief system that goes by the principles of the world. It's dictated by the prince of the world himself, Satan. People grab their way, claw their way to the top, trample on anybody to get to the top. That's the world system people cling to, the philosophy of humanism, atheism. These things seem to be pervading our schools today. These things, when people build on sand, they are choosing to believe in. One builder was thoughtful. One was thick. One was careful. One was a cowboy. One was smart. One was stupid. One thought eternally. One thought temporary. One thought long term. The other thought short term. You see, we live in a world that's always looking for short term solutions. Is there a shortcut I can take? Can I get a springboard to glory without going through the pain and heartache? Is there any cost that I can cut to get the job done cheaper? Looking for the path of least resistance all the time. But yet the Bible says the way to Christ is hard. It's a hard way, amen? It's the way full of trial and tribulations and struggle. But there will be a blessing as Jesus gets us through it, amen? You see, when heartache and grief comes to you, you're going to need a sure foundation, amen? You're going to need something that you can stand upon. And if we just try and cut corners, It's like a story of this construction company guy who built beautiful houses. And he said to one of his chief laborers, I'm going away for a year and I want you to build me my dream house. Use my money, use my resources, build me a dream house. And when I come back in a year, I will reward you accordingly. He said to the guy, any money that you can save in constructing this house, you can keep. So he goes away for the year, and the guy gets to build the house. He starts building. He uses the cheapest materials possible. He tried to cut corners at every angle. He thinks, the more money I can save, the better it is for myself. I'll just build a dodgy house that will look good, but really, with the cheapest materials. And when the man returns from his year away, he says, you know, you've been so faithful. You've been so faithful. You've been a faithful laborer, yet you've honored me and done exactly what I've said. And you know what I want to do? I want to bless you. Here are the keys to your new home. Gotcha. And so you see, he thought he would build using shortcuts, using cheaper materials, but it came back to backfire on him, yeah? See, the world is looking for short-term solutions. The fool was probably in a hurry. He didn't stop to consider how he should plan for the future. He has no vision, no forethought, no foresight to what's coming ahead in his life. Worry about it later. Let's just eat, drink, and be merry right now, because tomorrow may never come. He takes a short-term view and doesn't look ahead. And unfortunately, he didn't realize he built his house on a sandy stream bed and the storms were coming. So the storms came, and it's probably talking about the eastern monsoons that would just come suddenly and the flood would come and the winds and the rain. The storms will come to you and me. Make no mistake about it. They can come at a moment of time when we least expect it. It can be like a rug pulled from beneath you at any time. I'm here to serve a weather forecast on you today. I'm here to give you a storm warning today. But I also want to tell you that there's a foundation you can lay that will keep you, that will surround you, that will protect you. The fortress that Jesus Christ gives us when we build upon him a sure foundation. He will keep you from high water or hell. Your foundations will be tested, but will your house be stormproof? So I want us to consider a few things, a few blessings that comes to the stormproof Christian tonight. As one man said, we either stand or fall on what we are within. You see, Christians can say, the Lord is my rock deep within. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are saying. The inner stance is solid. Amen. I can only speak from personal experience, and sometimes I find it really hard. Isn't it funny when you hear some preachers say that, you know, how easy life is. Oh, not our preacher. Not our pastor. And how he can bring you through a cloud of glory with no pain, no struggle, money in the bank, good health. It's a load of rubbish, if I can put it politely. You see, the Christian message in the New Testament is, hey guys, expect storms. Hey guys, expect trouble. Hey guys, don't expect plain sailing. But guess what? There's somebody who'll get you through the storm. You might get wet, but he's going to get you through it. It might be stormy, but he's promised you a safe landing. And if you trust in him, if you trust in him, you see, I believe that this church is building unstable disciples, but not this one. Well, at least we're not trying to, Pastor. By the way, that's my first point. Jesus Christ brings stability. The church is producing unstable disciples by the messages that are being preached a lot of the time, if we preach what was said a moment ago. And if the pastor says something that is even remotely challenging, he didn't like me. I'm off. There's something not going our way. See you later. But the person that is truly founded on the rock will stand through, will endure the storm, even the things that aren't going their way. They might be in an unstable relationship, have unstable emotions, this, that, or the next thing. And they might be connected to somebody who's unstable, and they allow this to rock them. And Jesus offers us stability. He said, this man who's founded on the rock, in verse 25, the rains come, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundations on the rock. The rains came, the rains of culture, humanism, Humanism is a religion in itself, basically. It's a world system or a mindset, a system of belief which eliminates God from everything, eliminates the supernatural from everything. We will solve things on our own and we will leave God out of it. A worldview that seeks to find answers to humanity's problems apart from God. And huge portions of our society today stake their all in all in such a belief. Making such important decisions, important life decisions without God. They don't consider eternity and just think, let's just have some pleasure. Let's just do what we want. It's humanism. It pervades our society today. It has infiltrated our schools, infiltrated our teachings. It believes that, you know, let's leave God out. Why do we need to think on the supernatural? Why do we need God to explain our way of life? Science will give us the answers. Let's just put our heads together as human beings and try and find answers to humanity's problems. Let me tell you today, the only one that can solve humanity's problems is the Creator, God of heaven and earth. His name is Jehovah. His name is Jesus Christ. He has created you. He has created me. He even brought you here today that he loves you so much. The cultures, the reigns of cultures, humanism, hedonism, pleasure-seeking, thrill-seeking. Let's just do what the crowd is doing. Materialism. Just fill your boots with as much possession as you can and you'll be happy. But you say to someone who's rich, how much more money would it take to please you? Just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. Just a little bit more, but not quite enough yet. You and I know that these things do not satisfy. Hedonism, humanism, materialism. All these things are the reigns of culture. What about the floods? The floods of crisis. I'm looking around the room today, and I know some of you have faced crisis. Things that come upon you all of a sudden, like the floods, they just roar down like a stream bed. A monsoon which comes and the floods come. What are you going to stand on? What are you going to stand on when the floods come and the crisis hits? The loss of a loved one or the young one who's gone astray. Crisis. What I do want to say is that Jesus will keep you stable. If you trust in him, his grace is enough for you. His love is enough for you. He will keep you surrounded in his fortress of his presence. He'll put his wings over you. He'll put his hand upon you. He'll put his anointing upon you. And by the way, when you are anointed by God, there is nothing that can stand in your way. When God puts his anointing on you, it's not up to man to choose whether or not if God is going to use you. God will find you in the backside of the wilderness. His hand will scoop you up. His anointing will make room for you. He will empower you. He will equip you. It's not up to man. Because when God anoints you, Satan, you better watch out. Because here's a man, here's a woman who's founded on the rock, who's got God in their system, who's ready to take on anything thrown their way. The floods of crisis. Everything is going smoothly and then a rogue wave comes and knocks you out. The unfaithfulness of a spouse, unemployment, redundancy, addiction. But God will keep you through all these things and his grace. Just at the point of need, you'll feel his grace. You'll feel his presence surging up inside of you. I don't know how many times I've prayed, Lord, help this poor man. Strength just comes. Strength just comes when you are founded upon the rock, when you're founded on Jesus. You don't know how you managed to get through that storm, but you got through it because you're founded on the rock. You don't know why that thing didn't take you out. Your neighbors don't know. It's because you are founded on the rock. The rains come. The floods come. The winds came. The winds of change came. Some people can't cope with change. People change. Family change. Your spouse change. I've changed. If you're not changing, there's something wrong with you. You better get used to change because change is something that constantly happens. The Bible says, for everything, there is a time and season. You see, storms come to rock your house, to try and test you. But I'm here to tell you today, when you're founded on the rock, nothing, nothing can shake you. Psalm 73, verse 26. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever.
We need stability. And Christ Jesus can offer stability today. Stability in our relationships, stability in our emotions, stability in our circumstances, stability in our families. Jesus Christ is the one who gives us stability. Proverbs 10, verse 30, the righteous will never be uprooted. Which brings me to my next point. Jesus gives you security. Thank God for Holy Ghost security. Thank God that He spreads His wings over you. Thank God that He watches over you. He doesn't allow the devil to get in. Now, we sometimes invite Him in by the doors that we leave open. But when we're trusting in Jesus and when we're looking to Him, He keeps us secure. And Jesus can offer you security tonight. No thief can come, can break through and steal. You may have bad days and bad moods and all the rest of it, but listen, no messenger from hell can penetrate the fortress which God is keeping you in. The Bible says no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Now that doesn't mean any weapon won't be formed against you. It just means that every arrow fired at you will be diffused with a Holy Ghost shield of protection, that hedge that sets about you. And there's security with Jesus, Holy Ghost security. The Bible says He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. And the enemy wants to destabilize us. He usually does this by attacking our foundations of our faith. Now check this out. Sometimes the storm that comes from above like the rain, from the sides like the winds, or from underneath like the rising flood. Either way, being rooted in Jesus enables us to endure. There are some Greek scholars who say that there was a variation in the storm. Some say that the same storm that came to both builders, but the one that came to the builder on the rock was a strong storm, a more powerful storm that beat against it. The rains came, floods came, and beat against that house with everything that they had. But the word translated that the storm had to bow down. The storm had to bow down as they beat against that house. Now I want to tell you today, when the devil comes hounding at you, when the enemy tries to penetrate your fortress to get into your life, don't give him leeway. Don't give him an opening. You just tell him, you got to bow. You got to bow in the name of Jesus. You must bow. And when circumstances come and grief and loss and all these things, and yes, they do affect us, but ultimately they have to bow down because you are founded upon the rock. And when it comes, you just say, you must bow. I'm founded on Jesus. I'm rooted on the rock of Jesus. The storm seeks to break in. The enemy gets you cornered, gets you surrounded, and goes in for the kill. But inside you have the Holy Ghost anointing. Security, stability. Jesus is reliable. And I'll finish off with this. When I'm in trouble, I need something to rely on. I need a rock I can cling to. And you know, you can trust in God at all times if you haven't trusted Him already. The Bible says He is faithful who promised. When trouble comes to you and when the storm comes to test you, you need something reliable. Some of us may say, my spouse is reliable. My job is reliable. My bank account is reliable. My friend is reliable. If I can call you friend tonight, I just want to tell you, I'll probably let you down somewhere along the way. I'll try my best to hold good to my word. But chances are, when you need me, I probably won't come up with the goods from time to time. And same applies from you to me. Some of you may have thought your job was reliable and redundancy came at a blink of an eye. But I want to tell you that Jesus is reliable. And Jesus will never leave you and He will never forsake you. Amen. And His blood will always cover you. His presence will always shield you. And His word will come to you. It might not come exactly when you need it, but while you are waiting, just worship Him. Just love Him. Just praise Him for who He is. He has got you covered. I'm here today to tell you that Jesus has got you covered in the storm as long as your foundations are in Him. Some things in life are reliable. We use the words old faithful to refer to someone or something that never lets us down. But we all know that these things can fall through except for Jesus. He will never fall through. He'll never let you down. Psalms 146 verse 3. Do not put your trust in princes. in mortal men who cannot save. Reliability. So the last point I want to bring to your attention is eternity, because this foundation takes us into eternity. Remember the words of Jesus. He said, "Many shall say to me on that day, Lord, I did this in your name. I prophesied. I did this. I preached the gospel. I went to church. I did the right things. I served in the church faithfully, week after week. I did all these things, but the motives were wrong." And Jesus says to such a person, "Your foundations were dodgy." Paraphrased, of course. Your foundations were wrong. Your foundations were in the wrong place. And when the storms of life come and the enemy come, one day we'll have to face the storm of God's judgment. And that's a sobering truth that needs to be reminded. One day this foundation will take me through this life, but it will also take me into eternity. Amen. And on that day when I face God, when I look to him, when I see my Savior, I'll be able to say, "Lord, I was founded on the rock. I was founded on Christ Jesus." Can anybody say amen? Amen. It's a fortress. It's a foundation that will take you into eternity. Jesus spoke to people that were professing something they did not have. The Pharisees had built their foundations on the sand. They taught other people to build on sand. Their spiritual house looked good from the outside, but it was all just a show. They could talk the talk, but they couldn't walk the walk. They dressed right. They said the right things, attended the right meetings, but something was fundamentally wrong. They were outwardly religious, but inwardly corrupt. I don't mean they struggled with some issues. They were really from the core corrupted the ways of God and taught other people the same. Jesus said of some people, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things I say?" The sayings that Jesus said, we are to hear and obey. And not just the parable of the two builders, but everything that we are told in his word. Believe in the Son and have everlasting life. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Jesus tells us in his word to be obedient unto him. And if we do, we will be like the man who built his house upon the rock. And the place where we get our foundations right is when we come to the cross at Calvary. That place where we get our foundations right, my friend, when we come to the cross, that old rugged cross. The cross that Jesus died on for you and me so that we can get our foundations right with him. We could have the slate wiped down, a brand new start, rock solid foundation, and a hope that goes beyond the grave, that goes through the veil of death and onto eternity. I want to tell you this. Jesus hung on the cross with you in mind. Jesus hung on the cross with you in mind because he loves you personally so much that he took the punishment that your sin and my sin deserves so that you would not need to endure the storm of God's wrath. You'll be safe inside the fortress, inside the high tower, covered with his feathers, covered with his blood. You'll be safe and sound in that day. Are you catching this? Then when you have stood the test of time, endured the storms of life, we will surely stand in the day of judgment. And the Bible says, we will stand with boldness. You can stand with boldness in eternity, which means confidence. This means that you can stand knowing for a fact, and I don't mean double-minded stuff. I mean, you can know for a fact that on that day, God will look upon you and he'll be well pleased with you. Listen, God will be well pleased with you because of the blood of Christ. Which foundation are you on today? We will have boldness, and when the storm of God's wrath comes, we can be safe in the shelter and security of Christ. We will be rooted into the foundation of Jesus Christ. Are you living your life today and it's unstable? Everything that comes against me just seems to knock me hard. You know, there are those people that are founded on the rock, and they wouldn't be saved, of course. But then there are those who've trusted in Christ, but we've made sandy decisions. You know, everything hasn't been based upon Christ in the Bible. We've based it on what other people are doing, what the crowd is doing. They say that it's okay, let's just do it. The decisions that we make can sometimes put us in a position where we feel far from God. And like the prodigal son, we need to come back tonight. Amen. So if I can leave you with this, my challenge is twofold tonight. Is there anybody here that would say, you know, Norm, my foundations are simply not on the rock. But today, I want them to be. I want to have that stability, that security, that reliability that you speak about. And the second challenge is to those Christians, including myself, say, yes, I'm on the rock, but my temper gets the better of me. My feelings get the better of me. My moods get the better of me. I end up doing what everyone else is doing. Which foundations are you on tonight?
Can we give it up for Norm delivering that message? Powerful, bro. Wow. Somehow when he started talking, it activated something in my glasses that turns heat up because my eyes got really sweaty. Thanks so much. What a challenge for all of us. Think about eternity is it puts this life in perspective because we're less than a dot. Bible calls it a vapor. Like it's gone. Like you will mean absolutely nothing in about 1,500 years from now. And you didn't mean anything before you were born. But somehow, you know, we think that this, yeah, isn't that encouraging just for you today? And that's the foundation of which we live, because you matter a lot to an eternal God. But you really don't matter in the history of this world. And even if you do, this world is going to pass. We build our houses upon sand. And I hope you caught the spirit of what Norm was saying. If you build your foundation. And it is possible, even as Christians, to build your foundation on sand in terms of building your house, your spiritual house in the things of this world. Even as a Christian. Whether it's your reputation amongst other Christians, or sometimes we, and there's a place for this word, but sometimes we revere our legacy more than we revere Jesus. We want to make a dent in history when God says, no, I already did the dent. You just live for me, for my glory. Point people towards me, not your legacy. So that's sand. That's all sand. And so I hope you caught a lot of what, and this puts into perspective all of the last 3 months, like Norm was saying. That it's a point of us coming into focus as to what really we are founded on. Like you've heard me say many times, for those of you who attend this church, the foundation of your Christianity is the part of your life that nobody else sees. That's how you can tell what a person's founded on. The part of this building that you can't see is its foundation, yet it's the most important part of this building. How's your unseen life? How's your unseen Christianity? The parts of your Christianity that people don't see. Because it's easy to be a Christian around other people, especially other Christians. But God is more interested in the part of Christianity that nobody sees. Because that's what's going to determine whether you can ride out any storm. When you understand that this life has absolutely nothing to offer you that's of any eternal consequence, then you choose to live this life for Christ. It's just something for us to chew on and to think about, because I think even as Christians, we need to be reminded. I really believe that God used Norm to hold a mirror up to us and for us to face that mirror. And sometimes that's hard in the spirit, because we revere or we hold in high priority things that aren't necessarily what God is after in our hearts. So I ask you, what is your life built on? Can you honestly say that this life has absolutely nothing to offer you, that your life will be spent for Christ? My heart for my life is that when I get to meet Jesus face to face, I'll take the cup of my life and turn it upside down and find not a drip left, because I poured it all out on this planet. That's the attitude of which God wants us to live this life. But some of us put it all in reserve. Put a little bit away, only to understand that that's the kingdom that really matters. That's the investment of our lives that God really cares about, not necessarily just what we have in this world. This world has nothing for us. So that's our challenge today. That's the challenge that I really thank you so much, Norm, for issuing that to all of us as a church. That's the heart as a church, as your pastor. That's the heart behind the way we want to live as a church. That we will be totally spent. As long as Brisbane is not saved, we will spend ourselves leading people to Christ, no matter what nation they're from, no matter what side of the tracks where they're from, no matter rich or poor, old or young like me, I would like other people, we will reach them all. Stand on your feet, let's close.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.